coming to you alive through the power of the interwebs. Inside the Green Room Studio from the flagship source of the Earth Mix Garden Products Network, it's the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates, bringing you all the wisdom
and wit
you'll ever need to tackle your garden and your projects. Now broadcasting live from Bates Nursery and Garden Center at 3810 White's Creek Pike, just 1 mile north of exit 19 off Briley Parkway.
Or 0.9 miles as the Josh drives.
Here's Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard, because you got to find a project. You got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It's your Saturday morning tradition. It's the At Home Show. I'm Josh Carey.
And I'm David Bates.
And there are more feet on this floor than there have ever been at any point in our time, David Bates.
A new event for the At Home Show. First time, to my recollection, that we have had a member of a different species. And today we're going with
Greg
the
Hall's
canines.
Been here. So. Huh? Greg Hall's been here before, though.
There's that. I forgot about that.
There is Miss Peppermint Patty is joining us this morning. If you can hear her in the background, we'll get a shot here in a minute of her, what's going on. But we have another special guest in studio with Bill Hayes, Bill Hayes Construction. If you know somebody that knows a little something about concrete, he's probably not as smart as Bill. That's probably the thing. So,
Good morning.
Hey, let's go ahead and get a check of the weather here before we go further. And we're getting off to a wet start this morning. However, this will not last through the day. Patchy fog and showers early. Thunderstorms likely. We've already seen that this morning. A high near 82 degrees. And it's going to be, in areas, locally heavy rainfall. There will, again, be a chance of some thunderstorms in the afternoon. No surprise there. That's just kind of the way it is on a daily basis. On Sunday, we're going to have partly cloudy conditions, a little warmer, high of 87 degrees. Then we move on into Monday, 90 degrees, so it's warming up a bit more still. 91 Tuesday, 91 Wednesday, and then we get back into the scattered thunderstorms routine again later in the week. And as we look at the precipitation map across the area, you'll see that we're to the west, no rain at all, and to the across Nashville, Davidson County, and metro area, anything from a trace up to almost 1.7 inches is the largest amount I see. So there have been some significant amount of precipitation happening around in parts of the Middle Tennessee area this morning, but it's going to be a pretty nice day all in all. And here at the Bates Nursery weather station is currently right at 70 degrees. And we've got a few light showers, which are going to be clearing out 42 hundredths of an inch here this morning at Bates Nursery. 42 hundredths, yep.
That's almost a half.
It's really squeezing up on it.
Uh-huh.
That's an astute observation on your part, Josh.
Well, we've been talking about laser leveling before we went on the show this morning, and we'll talk about it. So when you're talking about that kind of stuff, you have to be precise, David. So 42 one-hundredths, okay? So that's 84 two-hundredths?
Well, if you're going to increase it to its highest denominator, I guess you could, you could continue to go that direction.
Well, what would that fraction be?
Well, it would be
0.375?
No.
3/8 is close.
That would be 1/21st.
1/21st?
1/21st of an inch, if you're going to do it that way.
It's almost a fifth.
Yeah, almost a fifth.
Okay, 615-499-6690. That is the number to dial that you can join us. You can text pictures. You can do all kinds of stuff, because Michael Stevenson will be monitoring the phone system.
Sure will.
He will be. And Honora will be putting up the video. She's the one that keeps us going here. But, folks, it's a rainy Saturday morning, so you might as well just kick the At-Home Show up onto the big screen TV.
That's right.
And just enjoy it. Sit back for an hour. We're going to be here for you.
Yep. And we got Buffalo Bill Hayes here.
Legendary Buffalo.
So how did the Buffalo moniker get hung on you, Bill? I know Buffalo Bill is a very natural kind of a thing. Is it just strictly from that, or is there another connotation we don't know about?
Most of my friends would call me Wild Bill, but there was one guy who just couldn't leave Buffalo alone, so it stuck. But mostly all my life I've been Wild Bill or Quits. My dad had 10 kids and called me Quits. I'm the youngest. So my name growing up was Billy Quits.
Billy Quits. It's always interesting to find how nicknames get assigned and how they transition and carry on through life. Now
that's a legit radio name. Billy Quits.
Billy Quits.
Or a professional wrestler.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, you could go out. He would be. You wouldn't be a heel, though, even though you're wearing your Green Bay gear. Because he is a, literally and figuratively, a large Green Bay fan.
Absolutely. And you are from Wisconsin originally. Is that correct? Uh-huh.
Yes, I moved to Portland, Tennessee in 86.
And were you from Appleton, Green Bay, whereabouts, Madison?
Where? I graduated in Baraboo, Circus Town, which is between Madison and Wisconsin Dells, right there in the Baraboo Bluffs, Devil's Lake, that area.
And what brought you from Wisconsin to Middle Tennessee?
You want the truth or
no? Make up something, whatever you know. You could go with the truth, and unless we find it, it's just not exciting enough, and then we can embellish.
We'll make up our own truth. I mean, that doesn't matter.
Let's just say my parents moved down here. I moved down here a year later. Then they moved away, and I stayed.
Okay.
I graduated high school in 85, and I stayed in Wisconsin for about a year, and then I just. Moved to Tennessee for reasons we won't discuss.
Oh. Okay. And that police report's been expunged, as it were.
Has something to do with all your friends are slowly but surely going to jail and you don't want to.
Yeah. I completely understand that. And there was a period of time in my life. I made a geographic tour to Hawaii back in the day. And I just felt like I needed to put some distance. And so I know what that, sometimes you just go, I don't know how to tell them I can't do this anymore. I can't be around it anymore. So I'm just going to go away.
Thank goodness there weren't video phones in those days.
Thank goodness.
615-499-6690. Tell us your high school stories and everything that goes along with it. But so you're a true Packer fan.
I've been to Lambeau.
Okay.
I've been to Lambeau.
Right.
Okay. Now, I spend a lot of time, or have spent a lot of time in Wisconsin and Minnesota, because you have to, all good windows are made in one or the other of those two states. Maybe a little bit in Iowa, but not so much.
Yeah.
You are either a Packer fan or you are a Vikings fan. There's a smattering of some Chicago Bear fans, but I don't think anybody talks about them very much. So, there's Peppermint Patty. David, if you could. Yeah, okay, so just so we get the equal time here, we've got, if you go to input 3, we'll be able to see. Now, this is a true working dog. This is a working dog. There is Peppermint Patty in her glory right there.
Yeah. That's you.
Look, up on the big screen.
Yes, good girl.
Now, does she run a scree at any point in time, or do any rubbing on the concrete at all?
Well, what she'll do is she will give the crew moral support. And okay. If you allow her, she will imprint the concrete for you. Four legs, two legs, just
you, you don't charge extra for that privilege either, do you? I mean,
no.
Okay, the path?
I don't. It's it's a custom. She'll customize your concrete for you if you let her.
Well, dogs in general seem to really enjoy the allowing it to get, they have a curiosity about concrete.
Dogs and butterflies.
Well, the butterflies just, killdeers are the little ground-dwelling birds that are prone to graveled areas, which is always directly adjacent or right within where you have concrete formed up. So they will typically, once you pour, they will start to run and leave their little footprints across it. They're very good about that.
I enjoy watching the killdeer when they drag one wing because they're trying to distract you away from their nest, which is just a pile of rocks in the driveway.
Yeah. Yeah, they're good for that. So how did you get into the concrete contracting business?
Well, I was when I moved down here, I was working in factories. I worked at the airport landscaping it. I had a friend of mine whose brother-in-law did commercial concrete. I just started as a laborer for $6.50 an hour, digging footers with a pick and a shovel in the 80s. And just,
you worked for one of the guys that paid well then.
Yeah. It might have been $5.50, yeah, back then. But then since then, I just expanded into, you know, working for companies local like Rogers Group and Jones Brothers and T.W. Frierson, doing concrete on 840 and just doing every kinds of different concrete you could think of. I worked at the Bicentennial Mall building the amphitheater.
Wow.
And that big bridge in front of Genesco where Murfreesboro Road goes under the airport.
Right.
I worked on that job from start to finish. And it just seemed like more money than you could make landscaping. So I stuck with it.
And I think it's
you get the same days off anyway, right? Yeah. So the rain days, you don't really work a lot.
They're closely related, but one pays a little better.
Yeah. Well, see, and
you don't have to worry about anything dying in the concrete business either. So, I mean,
we on my page on the internet, the tagline is, "We cover the earth in concrete where nothing will grow there again."
It does greatly impede the growth of most things, but if you leave a crack, something will find a way. You
Bermuda grass will find it.
Yep. Bermuda grass can cover it up.
Yep, absolutely. 615-499-6690. We've got Buffalo Bill Hayes here in the studio. And, Buffalo, you have, while you've been landscaping and planting stuff for years, you haven't been a vegetable gardener before this year. Is that correct?
That's right. I put a bunch of beds in last year that were all too close to the forest.
Mm-hmm. No sun.
All the roses and everything just looked like string bean plants. They just grew and grew and grew with nothing on them. So I moved everything into my driveway this year. Basically all the same plants. I just moved them over, 200 feet out of the shade of the forest, and now we are just covered in peppers and tomatoes.
Well, you're a big advocate for the above ground gardening as well.
Oh yeah. What I did was I just made some beds on my way too big driveway. Mm-hmm. Just made some beds and filled them full of that earth mix that you can get for about $75 a scoop, and there's really no way the plants won't grow.
A little sunshine, a little water.
It's designed to be able to make it easy for people to grow things. So
we're 2 years in, and we have just shelves and shelves and
can
shelves.
Can you cue up any of the video of his? I'm gonna pull your screen off for a minute here, Justin, while you're working on that.
And, but I'm gonna get kisses.
And
what's one of the words? Kisses.
Kisses.
Yes. Okay. I brought cookies. I brought cookies. So
yes, I'm and a you're popular. And I'm you're not popular. Gonna. You're never gonna be ignored as long as those exist.
Okay, but I mean, we got to work on this now. All right, that's all good.
So you have had a bumper crop of vegetables coming in. A lot of tomatoes, a lot of peppers. What all else are you growing?
We had a really good row of kohlrabi, which is a
Chinese.
Yeah,
type of
it grows great in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Like rhubarb, that cool seed, it loves that. And tomatoes, peppers. We grew quite a bit of cantaloupe.
Oh, what? Oh my goodness!
And but only one of them got really big. The rest were baseball
size. The last time I grew cantaloupe, I had so many.
Go lady.
I had so many that I. I ate cantaloupe I had 30 of them or 40 of them, and I ate cantaloupe for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and then I didn't eat cantaloupe again for about
5 years?
At least 5 years. I got so sick of it, I just could not, I couldn't go there, and I have gotten over that. It took me a good little bit of time to get over having eaten that much, and as good as it is, that was one of the first times I had ever come acquainted with the concept of too much of a good thing. I didn't know if if too much was possible on anything, but as it turns out, cantaloupe can be.
It was before smoothies, too, so that was another one of those things. I'll have to see if I can find that. That was going to take a little homework to do that video of the cooking and the other things that go along with it.
But hey, there is something I want to talk about here, Josh.
Is it really?
Yeah, I've got a couple of pictures here that I want to bring up and show, and a new plant. We've got some right down in the front. I don't know if they can be seen or not. We may, our guest here may be blocking the view of those, but you can see it up on the screen anyway. These petite knockout roses.
Petites.
And they only get 18 inches tall.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. And they have a very small flower on them, only maybe about an inch and a half in diameter. And they stay very small. I'm assuming that... And I'm sure Dr. Windham can back this up, that they have a small version of a rosette.
Yes, absolutely.
I mean, all roses are susceptible to that.
But a knockout in particular is, you know, they have to have that disclaimer about the possibility of rosette at any point.
Well, I mean, it's any rose that can get it. But because that they got planted in such numbers a few years ago, they really became a breeder, as it were, of the virus that gets spread by mites from one plant to another. But... if you can keep all that away from it, petite knockouts are a whole lot better than for many applications than the regular knockouts, simply because they just got way too large. And one of the issues with that, and I'm going to bring the back of the tag out here. It gives a little more detail about what all is on the plant as far as its growth habit goes, and we actually have it in Spanish over here if you're interested in getting that part of it. But check out the tags when you come out. See that over here at Bates Nursery, and look right in the very front of the rose section for petite knockout rose. So that's one you may not have seen before. We only got those for the first time this week, so check that out. A new selection at Bates Nursery and Garden Center.
Well, they're going to do well in the sun as well, right?
Right. And we carry a lot of different things at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, and we brought in a few, kind of an array of things. Tropicals over there nearest to Michael, the Anthabella palm, Sansevieria right there on the very corner, and then up in more near the center of the screen is the variegated Scheffelera, the dwarf Scheffelera, or Arboricola. And then we've got dwarf crepe myrtles and other
things. Was that the same guy that was on America's Got Talented? That was David Arcola.
Arcola? Entity, yes.
Oh, okay.
So check out all those things. And while we're at it, we'll just might as well just talk for just a moment about Bates Nursery and Garden Center. A wide array of pretty much everything you're looking for. You can go out to the website, BatesNursery.com, and if you just scroll right down the page, it kind of gives you an idea of what all we've got. You can search our entire inventory online. It's also shoppable online. You can even buy it and have delivery set up. So all that's available right there at BatesNursery.com. All the various categories that we have. I do a weekly newsletter, have been doing so for about 12 years now. We're really sneaking up on a major milestone. We were approaching 20,000 subscribers to it, which exceeds my wildest dreams ever. I never thought there would be that much interest, but if you would like to sign up, you could do so right there on the newsletter panel. And our newest feature, and one that has gotten a lot of attention, is our Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp, the BNBBC, as it were. And we have a complete lineup. You can click on here, reserve
Patty
your spot.
Likes this place.
Yes, you can click on here, reserve your spot, and get a complete lineup of all the events coming up, as well as get to see archived versions of the events that have already transpired. This past week, we had a Tuesday event where we talked about canning, and then we talked about soils on Thursday. So you're going to want to check those out over to Bates Nursery Botanical Boot Camp, and of course, my blog, as I mentioned earlier. Comes out every Thursday on the email, and ask this of you. The best of Nashville by the Nashville scene is the voting is going to be ending here in about another week or so. So we ask if you care to. We'd love to have you vote for us on the best of Nashville. And also, Vote for my blog while you're out there. That's in the media and politics tab under best local blog.
Now, have you forgotten something? I think it was announced inside the newsletter this week. You're having a small sale of
Yes, we're extending the 25% off all Monrovia plant sale here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. So if you're a Bates Rewards member and you know who you are, you get 25% off all Monrovia plants. That makes up more than half of our entire selection of materials. So you got a lot to choose from, and you may be lamenting the fact that, wait a minute, I'm not a Bates Rewards member.
Why
it's
not?
Really easy. It takes about 30 seconds to sign up. We don't share your information with anybody. It's just us, and we'll keep you informed of what's going on. That's over at BatesNursery.com, or you can come in and fill it out right here at the nursery. We're open from 9 until 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. So come on out and see us today. The rain's getting out of the area, and all of our landscape professionals are here ready to help you bring photographs on your smartphone or tablet along with you, and we'll help you get the right plants in the right place the first time at Bates Nursery and Garden Center, beautifying Nashville since 1932.
615-499-6690. Hey, if you got a concrete problem, we got an expert in the house today. So you can call us live. I mean, he's if you're listening in New Hampshire, or you're listening in Texas, or you're listening in Florida, or wherever you're listening to.
Worldwide.
Could be in Cambridge, England.
Cambridge?
Yes.
My wife was here Thursday with me, signed me up to get the plants today. Are the broccoli flats Monrovia?
They are not, regrettably.
Because that's on her list.
Well, we got two shipments this week of cool season vegetables that are, and the weather is cooperating nicely, I might add. You know, what I wrote about this week was the taste of autumn in August, and we're certainly feeling that. You know, I'm able to sit here comfortably, and Michael and I both are in long sleeve shirts in August, which is kind of unusual. We might not even make 80 degrees today. So wonderful planting conditions. We've got good soil moisture. Many areas around Middle Tennessee have gotten rain this morning, others yesterday. So we're certainly not dry, and it's a great opportunity to get out and plant and get your landscape underway, and maybe you've got a couple of little areas that just need some attention.
Did you get any Brussels sprouts in?
Pretty sure, yep.
Okay.
They're up there.
They're
I
up
saw them Thursday.
Okay, because I've got that
I'm not buying
on
them, though.
You're not?
No, I'm not a Brussels sprouts eater.
Oh, come on.
That's because you're an intelligent human being.
Yeah, you know what? But if you're into shooting a slingshot, they'll...
Actually,
it's a cool looking plant, though. I mean, have you ever seen one?
A beet works well in a slingshot.
A beet?
That's what we call overkill.
Have you ever tried Brussels sprouts roasted in the oven with like just some olive oil and garlic salt?
Yes,
that's delicious. I'll do that.
I can't get past the smell.
Or a balsamic raspberry reduction.
That's beyond my skills.
Not at his house. It won't be.
There's some nice flats of romaine lettuce I'm going to grab one of. She put three kinds of lettuce on my list. Is lettuce a fall-growing plant?
It is a cool season plant, so this is a really good time to get those out, get them started. They're going to do better as the season gets cooler, whereas they tend to kind of start to burn out a little bit during the hottest part of the summer. So it's a really good time to get those and get your fall garden underway. The weather certainly is unseasonably comfortable for this time of year. To be able to sit out on the patio or the porch in the evening is a pretty good thing.
The fact that I'm pulling pallets of grass seed out and I ain't sweating to death doing it, it's very shocking to me for August.
Quite so. Josh, have you got things queued up there ready to go?
I cannot find it, David.
It's in the
hole there somewhere. But they've already
buried it?
Well, the new Facebook has changed. It's new. They don't have visitor posts anymore on there. So, I would see.
Is there a place where you can click on video?
Oh, yeah, videos. But we've got a few videos up there. So we'll see what we can find on that one, looking at it the way it goes. But, it is going to be that time because, I mean, as soon as when you're sitting around, last night we actually sat out before the deluge hit in 37167, and Mama was grabbing the towel to wrap up in because it was a little cool last night. And that's a nice thing. Okay.
Do you have quite nice.
You got a fire pit up there yet?
I have a bonfire pile.
Oh, okay. Old pallets and stuff like that.
Yeah, a lot of old forms get burned.
Don't throw them away, Bill. I'm telling you, you might want to recycle some of these things.
After my guys use the forms two or three times, then they cut them into steaks.
Okay.
You can get maybe two uses out of it, a steak, and then it's time for the fire pile.
Oh. It burns well, though. Now,
oh, yeah.
David Bates.
White pine has no problem igniting.
Pretty easy. Yes, Josh. No. Kerry, since we're on a first and last name basis.
Oh, I thought you hit the light over there. But
no. Can't blame it on the dog. She's by me.
Okay. She ate all the cookies, so she's probably happy.
He's just trying to find
now.
A way to poke fun at people because he's always got his iPad or something turned up going over the mic.
Shut up, Michael. It's okay.
615-499-6690. If you're too shy to call, you can text us. Or you can message us on our Facebook site. That is The At Home Show with Josh Kerry and David Bates. Mm-hmm. And
even if you leave a message with your name and number and say, call me back, we can talk to you live.
Yeah, we can do that. And we can also talk about whatever's going on around your house. And, Bill, we've touched on the fact that you are primarily a concrete contractor. Mm-hmm. What are some of the biggest mistakes that you see people make who are preparing to do a little DIY concrete project? Do you get a chance to observe what others are doing and kind of roll your eyes or shake your head and keep driving? Or
easy now, Bill. Come on now.
Breathe.
You don't have to name names. But you know what I'm talking about.
Well, it is because I get called in to go behind other contractors that are professionals and have messed up a concrete floor or sidewalk.
Set of steps
that are out of code or concrete over a dog. She sees me talking on the microphone and she likes it. But mostly what you
see
is...
That's your daddy doing that. Yes, you should be proud.
People just don't compact the gravel. That's the biggest problem.
They don't realize how much weight the concrete actually has to it, and those forms that they're building really substantial. I mean, extremely substantial. I mean, it weighs a lot. There's a reason why those big 90,000-pound loaded trucks, when they roll in, have got to have really firm ground to be on, even though they've got six-wheel drive. They can get stuck.
Oh, yes.
And
that's a glorious thing to witness, too.
And they can turn over. And neither one of those are fun events, particularly if you're the one who's trying to get the pour done.
It's got gravel in it. We don't need to put any gravel down beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
So, talk for a minute. That one little premise right there, Bill, of why you would want to have gravel underneath your concrete as opposed to just being on bare ground.
Well, as the summer hits, the ground gets hot and collapses upon itself. It does the opposite in the winter. It expands. It has moisture in it, so it will expand. So the result of that is your concrete patio outside or sidewalk will literally go up and down maybe 3/4 of an inch throughout the year.
Mm-hmm.
So to have a pad of gravel under it to be a cushion, to be drainage, to let the water that's under the concrete go on out. I've seen concrete that was blue when we took it out, and it was drowned in water its whole life because – usually around a pool area, sometimes the concrete deck is actually the lowest area in the yard.
Right.
And then there's no way to get rid of all the surface water, and it just rots. And then it freezes in the winter, and it cracks. And the weather causes a lot of hell on concrete.
Yeah. Yep. Just ask Interstate 440.
Well,
That was a perfect. The freeze and thaw cycles were what really got it. It wasn't the traffic. Is that? Am I assuming that to be correct? Or is,
yeah, a lot of that was done under the old segmented concrete pavement technology, where that they would pour these, like, I guess
they had
like
a concrete paver,
right? Mm-hmm.
And they literally paved concrete. They'd cut it every 20 feet,
right?
And in that cut would be some bars to try to hold the two slabs even with each other, but
they didn't always work.
That thing was paved in the 80s, or concreted, I think, in the 80s. So, you know, if you get 30, 40 years out of a road, that's not bad.
No, that's not bad. And, of course, you know, now we've got a nice new road.
Yes, we
do. On 440, yes. And it's very pleasant to drive upon. It was a long wait coming, however. That one was, there was a lot of alignment shops, I'm pretty sure, are sad because stores. That was repaired. Do you have a comment, Peppermint? Patty, do you have a comment?
I think she's looking for cookies.
I like my daddy.
I chase deer.
I like my daddy.
615-499-6690. Josh is finally has a guest that he can actually relate to on an intellectual level.
We've met it. Yes, we have reached the pinnacle of my broadcasting career here.
That's why he's so comfortable today.
Hey, those Australian shepherds are smart as a whip.
Yes, they are smart.
Yes, they are.
I have friends who have border collies, and you know, and the border collies are, you know, another one of those herding dogs that they're extremely smart.
She gets mistaken for a border collie often.
She's a little bigger than a
black
border,
and white.
Yeah, but border collies are not that big.
Yeah, you know, they're skinnier.
Yep.
But if you ever teach a border collie to fetch a ball, you've ruined that dog.
Yes. Now, job site dogs usually will fetch anyway. I mean, now,
whether you want them to fetch or not.
Well, I mean, you don't see as many canines out on the job sites anymore. I mean, I don't know what the deal is, but
it's the chicken bones.
The chicken bones.
Yeah, I had to quit taking her to the job because she would just go around trying to find the chicken bones. So
dogs seem to like them.
Well, there's a lot of hot food cooked on in a lot of job sites. So I mean, and getting them up into the dumpster that's on every single job site now is really a tough thing, I guess. So.
Carnita bones.
Carnitas, yes. But they had we had a framer who had a big German Shepherd, and he would come over and drop a brick on your foot, and you would. This dog was big enough to chase the brick.
Oh, you're talking about like an actual
a
brick.
Yes.
Oh, an actual brick. I thought that was some kind of a metaphor.
A code word.
Yeah.
Code word, yeah. Okay. Chunk of block. I mean, a nice, you know, nice piece of limestone.
I had a neighbor that was really fond. The dog he had, he loved his dog, it was a Rottweiler. And that Rottweiler had a pet rock. And it was about the size of a softball. And
it was the same
everywhere
rock.
It went, it took that little rock.
You don't have to wash those in the washing machine every once in a while, like they do the little bunnies in the.
It eventually destroyed that dog's teeth because he would just chew and chew and chew on that rock.
Mm-hmm.
That was his
grinding
rock.
His teeth.
Yep.
Hey, let's talk for just a minute about EarthMix garden products.
Okay.
And Bill, I know you are a user and a proponent of EarthMix, and we touched on it briefly earlier. About how much work you had to do to use the EarthMix. How much work was involved in
I'm fortunate that I can come and get that EarthMix in my dump trailer.
Right.
I can then take it home and dump it into a pile, take my skid loader, scoop it up, and dump it in the bed. Now, there's where the work comes in, where you have to actually take a rake and level it out. But I mechanized my bed installation.
Well, everybody doesn't have a skid steer.
Well, no,
but okay.
if you have a trailer or have a truck, you just, you know, there may be some shoveling that has to be done, but you didn't have to do any mixing of the product.
I think I'm
about four loads, dump trailer loads, into building all my beds. Hopefully, I'll just have to add a little bit every year as it breaks down? Does it break down?
What it does, because it has such a high organic content, the organic particles in there do continue to break down over a period of time, and therefore the volume becomes reduced. So adding some back to it, if perhaps just adding something like Supernatural, EarthMix product, the organic compost to the surface of it, or Viragra earthworm castings. Those are both good choices to add to, and you could work that into the surface. But the great thing about Earthmix Garden Products is not just that they are locally produced and sustainably produced or organic, they really are formulated to thrive, to give your plants the ability to thrive without having to do anything else to them. Just open the bag or take a scoop and dump it into the area that you're going to plant in or the container, and it's good to go.
I've been listening, and from what you said, the first year, you're kind of good. It has nutrients in it, but then after that, you'd probably have to start fertilizing.
Right, or adding, like I said, supernatural or compost, or adding other organic fertilizer. And really, I wouldn't say the first year, but certainly the first 6 weeks or so, yes, you have quite a lot of nutritional value there that is just available to the plant.
Well, so, the nature of organics is that they break down quickly, too. So, I mean, if you're going to use an Espoma or some, even some folks, Monty's has been one that's been used in the past.
They're readily available, but not long in duration. Right. So, and, of course, if you want to find EarthMix, just go to the website, earthmix.net.
You can get it anywhere.
Click on the Find EarthMix tab, and it'll bring you up to a map over all of the areas from Indiana to Ohio throughout Kentucky and Tennessee. You can find EarthMix right there. Click on a marker, and you'll begin to see, like, at Redmond's Garden Center or Greenfield Plant Farm or Bloomington Valley Nursery and out in Memphis.
Babylon.
Gardens of Babylon.
They're in the and they're in the Bicentennial Mall there at the Farmer's Market.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, available all over the Middle Tennessee area. Check it out, earthmix.net. Remember, this success in gardening begins at the ground level when you use EarthMix Garden Products, and we appreciate you taking a moment and giving a look at that product.
That one big advantage to building a bed and putting this product in it is it doesn't have weeds in it.
Nope.
They didn't. I asked one of your technicians, and he said that they did not microwave the weed seeds, but in the heat treatment of the product, it neutralizes all the seeds.
We talked about that last week.
When
about
the compost is breaking down, it does achieve about 165 degrees temperature. So the things that might come in through the compost are that way. The soil also that goes in there is soil that is not, it is not topsoil. It's actually more of a subsoil. And we put so much organic material in there that the use of topsoil, we'd like the mineral content that we get from soil and the structure that it provides, but we don't need that weed seed, so we use a high mineral content source of soil, which is generally below the topsoil, the subsoil, but we screen that nonetheless, and it comes and it adds a lot of great mineral content and structure to that, so that's the way that goes.
So the seeds are neutralized just by a benefit of the process, not necessarily intentionally done.
Well, it is by intent. We want to gain every advantage of getting rid of the bad pathogens, not just weed seeds, but other disease things. So that comes into the composting process. But that the inputs on that are naturally weed-free pretty much to begin with, but you're able to get rid of all that. And then at the end of the process, mycorrhiza fungi, both endo and ecto mycorrhiza fungi and humic acid are added back into it once it has gone past the thermophilic phase, which is the high temperature phase.
It's that thermophilics that get it.
It gets down to once it drops down to about 130 degrees, then there's no danger of it killing the beneficial microbes, which we add back in there.
So, is that exothermic reaction?
Well, it could be exothermic on some levels. There may be also a bit of endothermic happening depending on the surface that you have it on. Of course, in this case, we do it on concrete because we like to keep it very clean. We want to keep all that foreign material out of it. And concrete is a hard surface I really like because it is durable. And if it's done correctly, and it will last for many, many years. And pavement certainly has its place, the blacktop type of pavement.
It's a little toxic, though, if you're
And it doesn't have the durability to it. If you're scraping on it like we are with machinery, it just it gives up a little. But if you're in hot weather,
it's a little exothermic as well.
So. Well, yeah, it can get really soft. So, I like something that stays, keeps that firm quality to it so that you don't have to worry about getting other materials or excavating the material itself out by scraping on it.
Okay, 615-499-6690. I have a question, Bill. And again, I've heard from different crews two different things. There are some in the concrete industry that are huge advocates for sealing the concrete, and then there is probably an equal amount of them that say, don't seal it. Where do you fall?
If you have the brown aggregate, exposed aggregate concrete, I would seal it every other year or every 3 years,
mm-hmm.
just to keep the water from
perking down inside it,
getting
down
destroying there. The top.
What it'll do, the water will get underneath the little pieces of gravel, and then when it freezes, it starts to pop them out of there.
It'll also get down in the control joints and push those apart. When water freezes, it has a lot of power.
Control joint, you're talking about expansion, intentionally put in expansion joints? Or the crack spots.
If you look at a saltine cracker, it has these perforations on it, mm-hmm. and we do that to concrete exactly the same way to try to cut it. To tell the concrete where to crack.
Right.
Because it's going to eventually crack somewhere.
There are two kinds of concrete, as it were, right? Concrete that is already cracked and concrete.
And the stuff that's still in the truck.
Yeah.
That's a good way of looking at it. But brown or gray exposed aggregate is, you recommend doing that. Now.
And I've seen advertised lifetime warranty on concrete sealer and hardwood. There is no product you will put on a driveway that will last a lifetime. It just won't happen. It depends on whose lifetime.
A lifetime guarantee is about as believable as one size fits all.
The lifetime of a cicada, maybe.
Yeah. Well,
well, exactly. Whose lifetime are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, I had a lifetime membership to Cosmopolitan Health Spa back in the day. I just didn't realize it was their lifetime, not mine.
I had at least a half a dozen lifetime memberships to a video store or two around Middle Tennessee as well.
When you add sealer to concrete, you only want to put it on the top. Of course, you couldn't put it on the bottom, but you don't want to put it on the sides because concrete needs to breathe. So if you leave the sides, if you can still see the sides, if mm-hmm. it's not just grass, you just want to put it on the top, so let the concrete breathe. If it gets moisture from underneath, it can dry out. About every 2 years, I go with the 25% solids. There's the key is when you buy a bucket of sealer, you have to look and see if it's 5% solids or 25% solids.
And you can tell by picking them up, folks. Same way with paint as well.
There's a good company down there, Warren Paint, down there by the fairgrounds that actually makes the sealer, and they'll set you right up with the good sealer, the good roller. It has to be dry.
Clean.
The surface temperature has to be 75 degrees for 8 hours. There's lots of little kickers.
No wind, no.
Yeah. Don't do it in the fall when leaves are coming down.
Don't do it on a full moon night either.
Do it in the winter.
No.
What's the best way to go about making a form?
Making a form?
Mm-hmm.
As to form what?
Well, like to pour concrete in.
We drop a 2x4 on the ground, stake it in, and grade it to 4 inches, and you're ready.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But if you ever pour concrete less than 4 inches, you're looking for trouble.
And this is where folks, again, it used to be a real big thing back in the day that I remember when we had to load the 80-pound bags of sacrete. Folks are going to pour their own air conditioner pad or a mailbox pad. That's the one that they're going to have that brick mailbox go up there. Oh, how much do I need? You need 8 bags. Oh, we don't need 8 bags. Give me 3, and that'll be plenty. There's a lot of brick mailboxes laying on their sides today, all over Middle Tennessee. Now that I've mentioned it, you're going to notice them because they're out there because we didn't have enough of them.
We had a little concrete project that we did at the backside of an old barn structure, mm-hmm. and these are telephone poles that were put in the ground 60 years ago uh-huh. by my dad, and they were old telephone poles then. Well, 3 of the 6. We're no longer making contact with the ground. I literally got in there and dug out all of the decaying wood with my hand, and there was this much space, so I built up with 2x12s, a form around it, and poured a boxed base, and poured that before the concrete was poured around it. And it doesn't look very big, but it took almost 2 bags of concrete per post. And of course, I actually cheat, dude. I use a 5-gallon pail with a cordless drill and a big heavy duty stirrer to mix small amounts, and it does. And I've got one of these foot brakes that you put on the handle,
sure.
And it does a great job on mixing. It takes a lot of the work out of it, but that's an 80-pound bag of concrete still weighs 80 pounds. As a matter of fact, I would say,
and you get 79 and a half out of it by the time it's all said and done.
At this stage of the game, they weigh more like 120, at least it feels like.
But the problem is that you get an average homeowner is going to try to do it in a wheelbarrow or in a box, or we'll just put it down on the ground dry and then we'll mix it up.
One mistake people are making now that they didn't used to is they'll order X amount of yards from a concrete company and think the concrete company is coming to put it down. All the concrete company does is throw the switch and make it come out of the truck, folks. They don't put the concrete down.
I will put a plug out there for a friend of mine in a concrete business, Mobile Materials. For homeowners or small projects, they are wonderful because if your math skills are not all that and you know you need a little but you don't know how little, you just get charged for what they use. They actually mix it in real time on site.
The company's called Mobile Materials Nashville. The owner is Scott Eller.
Scott Eller, great guy.
And it's a division, maybe a satellite company from companies that are out west. They're called Volumetric Trucks. So what they do is the truck is a rolling concrete plant.
Right.
They'll load all the materials in there dry in hoppers. When they show up at your house, the truck hasn't been lost for an hour. The concrete is not hot from sitting in Hardy's parking lot at lunch.
There is no clock that has started. Hey, you got to have this off the truck in 30 minutes because it's already been on there for 30 minutes riding over here. And
If I'm paying for the concrete, I only use Mobile Materials Nashville just because of the fact.
You get what you pay for.
You no longer have to measure the yardage. You just order up a 10-yard truck, and if you pull 2.5 yards off that truck, the other 7.5 goes to the next customer, and you only pay for what you pull off that truck. You don't have to know how much you're going to buy. You just order a truckload. That is amazing. Just fantastic.
Now, did you ever do any of the extruded curbs or the extruded edging?
Have you ever drove on 840?
Yes.
All those bridges, Hurricane Creek, all the way up to I-40, I extruded all the what's called a parapet wall on the side of the bridges.
Oh, wow.
So you see these walls that are on these bridges, and they're slip form. There's no form. You just throw the concrete in the front of the slip former and out
it's
extrudes
finished on the
a
back.
Slab on the back.
Big Play-Doh press.
Yeah, it's just like a Play-Doh press.
Well, now, several years ago it was real popular when people didn't use landscape timbers or, you know, they would
decorative have decorative curbs.
The decorative curbs that went around trees and beds and stuff like that. That always seemed like a very good idea to me. I don't know.
There's a few companies that do it, and it's a curb edging that's there forever.
Neat.
So there you go. Hey,
what?
Let's talk about one other thing.
What other thing?
That Mr. Bill here is heavily invested in his Facebook page, Interesting Machines.
And there are some neat ones.
And so you really ought to check that out. Interesting Machines. Just go to Facebook and search that. It'll come up. And if you are a gearhead at all with regards to trucking or heavy equipment mover or accidents that occur on job sites, and they've got, well, here's a nice little example of someone who didn't think through their, you know, they didn't realize that the ramps might spread as they drove off of it. That's not a good thing to happen.
He doesn't have a bucket. There's no attachment on the front of that machine to keep the weight on the front. He went off the ramps backwards. That's a deck over truck, so he could have easily just spun it around right on top of the truck and went off forward.
Yes.
The other thing he's doing is that truck, you can't really tell, but it looks like it's pointed uphill.
Right.
So he's got about 5 factors that allowed him to flip that and to avoid this from happening, $8,000 brand new machine over on its back.
Well, I had a machine once upon a time, an old Takauchi articulating rubber tire loader that had
everybody's got one
that had we had service work done on it, and they delivered it back, and the driver on the low boy did not put his ramps down.
Uh-oh.
He just backed it right off. I mean, dropped it off like, you know, a 30-inch drop. Just boom, boom. I mean, you know, it was so when you don't have your brain fully engaged, bad things happen, and worse things happen when you're driving a piece of equipment that weighs many tons. Because
yeah, that machine probably that's a big old Bobcat. That's probably a 700 series. That thing probably weighs 13,000 pounds.
That's equivalent to like a Cat, like a 289 or a 299 maybe. Or
yeah, it's
that class, right?
It's more than I want. Those things are too big.
Yep, they're too big.
We've got a voicemail.
We have a voicemail.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And it's concrete related.
Did you hear that, Patty?
Good morning, gentlemen. You too, David. This is Darren and Donaldson. Wanting to widen my driveway and wanting to set up forms to what would be the best way to set up and pour concrete up against, a slab that's already poured? Is there any particular things we need to do for that? Could you explain the best procedure with that? I appreciate it. Thank you. Go Bears.
That ho ho ho. I would would expansion joint be something that he would be investing in first and foremost on this?
There's two kinds of that expansion board.
Mm-hmm.
There's the black board.
Right.
And then there's this stuff that's called polyvoid, which is styrofoam, and it comes in a roll. You'll see it. You won't necessarily see it, but it's used on pool decks.
Right.
When you're pouring to another slab. So ideally, I would go to a pool supplier and buy a roll of what's called polyvoid.
Easier to use than the blackboard. Probably.
He might have a connection on that.
And then just put a couple of pins in the existing slab. Take a little drill and drill
a little masonry bit or one of those TAPCON type things that'll just zip right in there. Once you
zip right in,
you can have a 4, 5, 6, 8-inch piece of rebar and do it every 4 or 5 feet. That way, the two slabs will stay together, and they'll have expansion between them. That's what I do.
So form to the outside, stake it strongly, and then put a little prep in the middle, and you would of course want to match the height of the slab. So,
but I would definitely call a professional.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's, you know,
because only won't go about that far.
Well,
probably.
One of the things that is very deceiving, and we are coming up near the end of the show here, folks, so just want to keep you apprised of that. One of the things that if when you watch professionals do concrete finishing, they, like many professionals, it looks much easier than what it actually is.
And as the same way on any of the home and garden improvement channels, all these projects look like they're really easy, and they all get done in less than 30 minutes. So that's not the case. Cause
a lot of what gets missed is the amount of time, and I would contend with concrete is in the time that is spent in preparation getting ready for the pour itself. Now, you know, maybe he's only adding, I have no idea, but maybe he's adding 2 feet on each side of his would you suggest that if he has kind of a typical 4-inch slab driveway, that on these wings he's adding on the edges, perhaps you might consider going to 6 inches, I should say.
I would just grade it 4 or 5 inches, throw a piece of 3/8 rebar in it, and if you order your concrete from Scott Mobile Materials Nashville, they have a fiber mesh that comes. It looks like kite string.
And it rolls right out into it. It is cool.
It's not like any fiber that you will buy from SRM or Garrett Brothers or IMI. Their fiber is all patches that looks like boat fiberglass.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile Materials natural fiber is like kite string. So I've poured 4 trucks in a driveway. We up there at in Hendersonville and Avondale, we put 10 trucks in a driveway at a body shop. I guess maybe out of 10 trucks, we had one crack. Wow. Which is crazy. Their concrete is crazy strong.
But the, again, it's just it's the prep and making sure that everything's right on the front side. I mean, that's the way that's
going. Okay, Bill, tell us about this vehicle right here before we have to get off the air here. This is a chop job for sure.
I don't know what it is. That's I found it on the internet.
It looks like a Chevy
it's
van.
A Dodge.
Or is
that's
it a Dodge?
Yeah.
It's a Dodge that's been cut all the way down to its lowest common denominator, talking about common denominators.
And I believe that thing is operational somehow.
Now, David Bates, one thing that you've got to do before you get out of here, you've got to sample the habanero ghost pepper.
You already saw me do this one.
So that salsa was made by my wife, Estella.
Beautiful.
Estella Hayes,
it's
the
wonderful.
Beautician. The light colored
nice, smooth bite to it.
The light colored one is pineapple and jalapeno. Uh-huh.
And fortunately, this is only Carolina Reaper. It's not Trinidad Scorpion.
And the dark color one is what my wife calls North Carolina. I don't think she knows the names yet. But we have been making salsa, and I hope y'all enjoy those.
We will. We absolutely will.
I already am. I'm
he's
warming
lit
up as we speak.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for it.
Yeah, absolutely. But folks, it's we are coming down to about time. I'm counting down.
We got 4 minutes.
4 minutes. We still have 4 minutes.
We got 4 minutes.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and give you a pointer on gardening. Is save the little plastic stake that comes in your little planter and put it next to the plant, because we have 15 pepper plants.
You forget which ones are which.
And, you know, some of the peppers are long and yellow. That's obvious. But those little, they look round and they're red, and it's probably those Carolina Reapers.
Now Bill, here's one. Let me pass this little caveat on to you. If you like sweet peppers and you like hot peppers, that's great. But you must plant them at distance from each other.
I remember that from last year.
Okay, mm-hmm. Well, good. So, and you've done that well, obviously.
No, we did not.
Oh, so
no,
so what
fact,
winds up happening
fact,
is...
Our planting was all probably 7 kids under 7. So
it's kind of like herding kittens.
Come in there and pull all these plants back out and separate them out because, you know, they were planting them to size as they were in the little tiny pots.
Right.
And they were 8 inches apart. So our planting this year was just an exercise and having fun with
the kids. Suggest
that
you take those little tabs and put them onto a popsicle stick or maybe use them some of them when you get ready before you get ready to go because they tend to get a little lost.
Yeah, you don't know what you've got planted unless you're organized.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, and reading the labels about the ultimate possible height and width of the product is a real key.
Well, the point you made at the very top of the show was about the location, and when you're vegetable gardening or fruit gardening, you've got to have sun.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how nice you think it would look to have a garden over there in the tree line, it's just not a good spot.
Yeah, it was directly in front of our... I figured, hey, I'll plant the garden right in front of our bedroom window. That way we can look at the beautiful flowers. Didn't work.
Yeah, if you wanted to plant shade-tolerant flowers out there, it might be fine. But if you're going to grow fruit and vegetables, they're almost, without exception, sun lovers. They got to have sunshine to be able to be productive, to produce flowers, and therefore pollinate and get fruit off of them.
What is it you say? The right plant in the right place the first time?
Yep.
Yeah. Well,
even the second time counts, though, which is what your case was. You just got to move them one
extra
time.
The thing is that, you know, what you plant a shrub, what do you remove, David Bates? A bush. You always plant shrubs, but you have to rip out the bushes.
Sometimes it just works out that way.
Oh, my goodness. All righty.
Bill, we want to thank you for coming in this morning.
And Peppermint Patty, thank you for coming.
Yeah, she passed out on the floor.
She finally chilled out. Now that we're at the end of the program, she's not going to be ready to go now.
She's okay, ready folks. For another cup of coffee.
We do.
That's an inside joke. She's been drinking Honoras all morning.
Folks, we hope you've enjoyed this edition of the At Home Show. We're going to invite you back next Saturday morning live here from the green room at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. But go out to Facebook, share the video, go to YouTube, like the video, tell
your
friends. Yes, please subscribe. Look for us out on LinkedIn. If you're out there, we're out there too.
Yep.
So, and of course, get our podcast.
Twitter.
Twitter.
Yep.
Bill, thanks again for being here. Go Titans.
But, go Packers. Yeah.
All right. We'll see you here next Saturday morning for your Saturday morning tradition. It's the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates.